I want to share with you this morning about what God says is in store for you, because the Bible tells us in both the Old and the New Testament that the human soul is immortal. Now, there are people who are going to refute that. But are you going to listen to the author of life or the author of death? The Bible tells us that in Psalms 22, 23, 49. The human soul is immortal. Every person will exist forever. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2 says, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Christ Jesus himself, recorded in Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, said that the wicked will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Aren't you thankful for that conjunction, right? But the righteous to eternal life. Dear friend, I want you to know that if you know Jesus Christ and you are covered by his blood, you have accepted the forgiveness of sin through God's Son, Jesus, that you don't have to depend on your own righteousness, but you are imputed, you are given, you are covered with the righteousness of Jesus Christ because of his shed blood and because of you receiving that gift of life. The unmistakable teaching of the Bible is that all people, saved or lost, will exist forever, either in heaven or in hell. And true life, dear friends, true life, spiritual life, does not cease when your heart stops beating. Oh, I shed some tears this morning just missing hearing Mama sing beside me. But I'm going to tell you, I wish I could hear her voice now. She would complain and has for years. She said, acid reflux is just taking my voice. And I said, Mama, your croaking sounds good to me. Because she sang with a joyful noise. Spiritual life does not cease when our bodies pass on, because your soul, our soul, my soul will live forever. I'm a schedule maker. I'm a list maker. Listen, I need it. A lot of people have told me, oh, I'm so glad you're so organized. Well, just work with me like some of the others have to do. I'm not all that organized, but I do make lists. And if I will make a good list and follow it, I do better. It helps me to know what's coming up next and what I need to do. So I put a schedule together for you this morning. Okay? The six main events of your eternity. And if we look very closely at the Bible, the teachings of Christ Jesus, we can construct an accurate timeline for our eternal existence. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. Very simple. I'm not going to try to get big, just going to get very simple. First and foremost, the very first timeline of your life you celebrate once a year. What's it called? Your birthday. Event number one, you were born. You came into existence. You were created in the image of God for a life of purpose. Male or female, God made you as you were. You're not supposed to try to change it. You're not supposed to try to hide it. You are what God made you. Be what God made you. And let God affirm you so that you can literally have joy in your life. Amen. You did not exist in the past. You have not been forever. But you will exist forever when you came into being. When the Lord formed you, as the scripture tells us in Jeremiah, when he formed you in your mother's womb, you had a soul. You were created with a very unique identity and responsibility. You have a responsibility spiritually. In Genesis chapter 1, it tells us what you're responsibilities are. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Listen, that's your job. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea. That's why so many of us love to fish. Have dominion. Why we love to hunt. I would get off, but I need to go right back to this, or otherwise I'll really go off the reservation. One, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. We have a job. On this earth, we are not just a physical being doing what God said we need to do, but we live, dear friends, in three different dimensions, if you will. Spirit, soul, and body. The scripture tells us this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Event number one, your life began. Event number two, and somewhere between these two, I pray that you will come to know Jesus Christ and fulfill your purpose here for the whole time. But your eternal schedule goes like this. You are born. You are to live for Christ. And then the next thing that happens after your life on here is over, we come to your death. That is event number two. We will, Scripture says, die physically. But you don't have to die spiritually. The death of our body is our exit from this life on earth. This is not the end. I love what one preacher said. He said, one of these days you're going to read in the newspapers and the obituaries that so-and-so is dead. He said, don't you believe it. He said, I'm going to be more alive than I ever have been before. And it's true. This is the precursor to eternity. And what you do here makes all the difference. That'll be another time for another place. I pray that you know Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, because that determines everything upon your death. Your death is the exit from the body, from this earth. Secondly, following our exit from earth, our soul or our spirit lives on. It doesn't cease. Our life as a soul and spirit continue even after physical death. That's why the Bible calls physical death sleep, not for the soul, not for the spirit, but for the body. Because the body one day is going to be resurrected. Whether you are burned at the stake or cremated, whether you are embalmed and put in a tomb, whether you were eaten by lions or drowned at sea and never found, the Bible tells us that God himself, who created you from the dust of the earth, is going to revive your body, and it's going to meet him in the air, and your spirit's going to come back with him, and you're going to be reunited, and you're going to get a new body. Gary Ladd will no longer weigh 240 pounds, but I'm going to be a lean, mean fighting machine. Mama would frown at that one. But I will. I will. Scripture tells us that we will rise and we will have a glorified body. Around this world, dear friends, many believe that they have lived in previous lives as humans or as animals or as bugs or as something. But the Bible says that's just not true. There is no such thing as reincarnation. There is no such thing as soul sleep. There is such thing as body sleep, because it's going to awaken to the return of Jesus Christ. That's taught in the Bible. But this soul sleep and reincarnation is not of God. Hebrews chapter 9, listen, verse 27 says, every man will die, and this will happen only once. That's what Scripture tells us. Hebrews 9:27. Jesus told us that after our death, our soul is either with God in heaven or it's apart from God in hell. Many scriptures. Won't have time to go through those. You want to find out, you come see me. I've taught a Bible study many times here about what happens when you die. Folks, every person will die one time and you will go to your eternal destination. To be absent from the body for Christians is to be present with the Lord. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34 and 41 says this, that we are going to appear before God in that time, at the great white throne judgment. It says, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then he will also say to those on his left hand, depart from me, for I never knew you. And you will go into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 says, we are confident, yes, yes, well pleased to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Amen? Our second event for eternity is our physical death, and that awakens the spiritual life that you have chosen. The third event brings about your destination. Your destination. You know, almost everybody likes to go on vacation. Do you choose where you're going to go? Do you find a hotel? Do you find a resort? Do you find a place you want to go? Listen, if you don't, you're going to be left out on the street. We take lots of preparation to go on a vacation. If you would spend so much time choosing a temporary place on this earth, why would you not take some time and literally spend some spiritual decisions to make sure that you are headed to the right place when you die? We reach our eternal destination upon our physical death. Jesus identified only two possibilities, folks. Only two possible locations. Once he died, and he cleared the way for us to go to heaven. Dear friends, the scripture says that heaven is a place for those who know Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 2. Some of you know that's one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible. He said, Jesus told his disciples, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. There is a second place. If you have not chosen to be a believer in Christ Jesus and to follow him, the scripture says that heaven will not be your destination, but hell will. Matthew chapter 23, verse 33 says that evil will not escape the condemnation of hell. Jesus very clearly explained how to avoid hell and how to go to heaven. In John chapter 3, verse 18, he says, he who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. Now you know that two verses before that is the verse that most everybody who is a Christian has heard, and many who are not. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Say it with me. You know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Our destination is chosen by our heart decision, either for or against Christ. That's the third destination. There's a fourth event coming up, and that's the resurrection. We sang a little bit about that today. The resurrection. We will receive a resurrected body. The Bible calls it a glorified body. It will be new and it will be immortal. It will never die. John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29 says, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of the condemnation. So there is going to be a resurrection of all souls and all bodies, and they are headed to two different places. We already said, you choose your destination. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51 through 54 says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. In other words, when he says sleep, he said, that's die. He's saying that not everybody is going to die physically. So what's going to happen here? What event could possibly occur to keep some people from dying physically? The rapture. the coming of Jesus. There are some that are going to meet him in the air. They won't go to the grave. They won't be buried. They're going to go straight up to the Lord, and they'll receive their glorified body. I'm guessing on the way up. I don't have to figure that out yet. But those who have died and those who were burned at the stake or cremated or eaten by lions or sharks or whatever, God is going to pull them together somehow, some way. Listen, if he accredited the first time, he won't have a difficult time doing it the next time. Amen. And this time he's going to put it together glorified. And the scripture says that in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I heard somebody say that would be a great verse for the nursery as their theme. We shall all be changed. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Yeah. Now, put it where it goes. You may not sleep. You may not die physically. But when the Lord comes back, you will be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. Oh, listen. This mortal must put on immortality. When this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Because when you rise from the grave, when you rise from the ground and your soul meets that body, and you are made incorruptible, death no longer has a grip on you. Death is swallowed up in victory. Jesus is going to transform your earthly body so it's going to be conformed to his glorious body in his image. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and following says, for our citizenship is in heaven. Any amens? Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. And our bodies are going to be subdued by the Spirit of God. You're going to be remade, and you are going to rise with Christ to be with him forever and ever and ever and ever. That is the fourth event, the resurrection. There is a fifth event that we want to talk about this morning, and that's repayment. You are going to be repaid for your life's work here. We will receive an eternal reward or retribution based on what you did while you were on this earth. I don't know why we forget about this, but so many do. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body. What does that mean? While we're here, this body, while we're here on this earth, in this unglorified body, it will set up your foundation, first of all, your belief in Christ, secondly, your eternal life in heaven, because you're going to be assigned things for the Lord's heavenly work according to what you did here. Everyone's work is going to be judged, good or bad. John chapter 5, verse 22 says, for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgments to whom? His Son. Our works will determine the degree of reward you get in heaven. Now, I want you to understand this. Your works does not determine whether or not you go to heaven. Do you get this? Don't misinterpret this. God's word says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You cannot work or earn your way to heaven. That comes through your faith in Jesus Christ. And now, The second part of that is, if you have faith in Christ, you will want to work for him. He says, you will know them by their fruits, not by their words, by their fruits, by what you do. And the scripture says, our works will determine our degree of reward in heaven. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 and following says, then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. Wait a minute. How many of you have ever heard of the Book of Life? How many have ever heard of the Lamb's Book of Life? Listen, did you know that it says that there's more than one book here? Let me look at that word. It says, what is that? It says, and I saw what opened? Book. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And the dead were judged according to their works. There is a book that has recorded your works for Christ. By the things that were written in the books, they were judged according to their deeds. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades were delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his own works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Friends, do you see what it's saying? Our works will determine the degree of reward we receive in heaven, not whether or not we get to go to heaven. That is based on your faith in Christ. But your rewards will determine by what you did on earth, be determined by that, or your retribution in hell. Matthew 23:14 says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive a greater condemnation. You understand what he's saying? Those who were put on a big pretense, and yet they were robbing widows and orphans and taking literally food out of babies' mouths and widows' mouths, those who did that in the name of religion, God says right here that they are going to have a greater condemnation because they did this in the name of God. That's not what God does. There's a lot of people out there saying what God is and what God does and what he can do. And I'm going to tell you, it's not up to them. God has already recorded it right here. And if you want to know what God can do, what God will do, and what God's going to do with you, for you, to you, you can look it up right here. God's word does not fail. You can depend on it, dear friends. They will be judged. Next week, we're going to have a committee meeting. Maybe some of you are saying, you know what? I think I need to get on a committee. Anybody want to sign up today? You can. Okay. Service committees. Lots of service committees. Serve the Lord with gladness, dear friends. It is a way that you can change your eternity, how you spend it. Now, there is one more event. After the repayment phase where we stand before God, and he judges us for what we did, there is one more event, and that is called eternity. The rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. We will live forever in the presence of God, or if you don't know Christ Jesus, in the absence of God. Eternity is a real life in a real place where you will experience the consequences of your belief and your actions on this earth. Dear friends, there is a progression of events, and God's word records them all. Jesus said that those who have rejected him will experience everlasting punishment, while those who have chosen him will receive everlasting life. Matthew 25:46 says, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. You will live forever. It's just a matter of where and what. Jesus promised heaven to his friends. He told his buddies, those who worked with him and walked with him every single day, he promised that in heaven, his friends would be with him. and that he would prepare a mansion for them. John chapter 14, let's read some of that verse again. Jesus came to him and he says, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus told his disciples. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. To be absent from this body, dear friends, is to be present with Christ. These are the events of your eternity. You have a bearing on whatever might happen to you. First, in the destination. Secondly, in the rewards. And dear friend, do not fail to make preparations. God has a plan for you, and you can receive it. Oh, I pray that you will stand before him, and he will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom of the Father. Can I pray for you? Lord, throughout this building, throughout, Father, the reach of the communications of this broadcast that we're doing, there are people that need to know you. They have never surrendered their heart and life to you. And I pray that at this moment, in faith, they would turn their life to you, Lord, that they would surrender their all to you. Father, I pray that in that surrender, they would come to know you, and that the fruits of their life would show that they love Christ Jesus by being obedient and by serving, by leading others to you. Father, thank you for those that are here today. God, would you bless them for following your commandment to be in your Father, their Father's house. Father, to glorify you in their presence. Would you bless them for being here this day? And Father, for those who know you, but Father, have not been close, would you draw them to you? I pray that this day, that they would make a decision to say, Father, I'm coming home. I've wandered far, but Lord, I'm coming home. God, I pray that they would serve you, that they might have much reward in heaven. I pray that their actions would be a testimony to their families, to their friends, to their neighbors, to their co-workers. God, help us to be about the business of our Lord Jesus Christ. For you have a plan, and you're going to follow it. Now help us to do the same. And all God's people said, amen.